Hey friend, really proud of this Portfolio Career podcast episode with Alexa Eden. Alexa is an urban wellness consultant. What that means is she works in the intersection of content, community, events, and brand activations. She has worked with brands like Equinox, By Chloe, Glossier, and Daily Harvest, all while striking a balance, a hashtag that's kind of gone viral. Her Instagram is full of great and inspiring content, so head on over to alexa.eden to check it out. She talks about her journey for leaving Equinox and starting her own business. A little bit of news on my end. My podcast is now available on Upper West Side Radio in New York. 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 6 to 7 p.m. I hope you're able to check it out. Also, my newsletter each month provides strategies and actionable information. So head on over to portfoliocareerpodcast.com to check it out, to subscribe. I think you're really gonna like this episode, particularly if you're interested in brand partnerships, events, personal development, content, and so much more. So tune in to build and grow your portfolio career. And as always, let me know what you think. Cool. Welcome to Portfolio Career Podcast. Your host, David Nabinski, is here with Alexa Eden. How's it going, Alexa?
I'm good. Thank you for having me, David.
Yeah, it's an honor to have you. So, Alexa, if we were to go to an event tonight, how do you typically introduce yourself?
So, it really depends. And I think this goes just diving deep right into this portfolio career. It depends on where I am and who I'm speaking with and what context they might have in the background that I'm in. So sometimes I'm in a more of a creative environment, sometimes I'm a little bit more in a spiritual environment, and based on what I want to show up as, I kind of shift the title just slightly so that it's a little bit more approachable in that way. But for the most part, I say I'm Alexa Eden, and that I'm an urban wellness consultant and conscious entrepreneur in New York City.
Mm. And what does urban wellness mean?
So urban wellness, I believe, is an understanding that wellness isn't the same everywhere. Living in a city, it takes us a certain amount of energy and effort to create healthy lifestyles, especially given the high stakes of the way that we live here. But when I think about urban wellness, I distinguish very carefully and specifically between physical, spiritual, emotional, social, and mental wellness. All those are very different, and it's important, I feel, to take time and effort to cater to each of those. Okay. So as a consultant, I help individuals and businesses distinguish where they can either add more effort to those areas or how their product or service is going to solve one of those issues.
Mm-hmm. And is that where the hashtag strike a balance comes from?
I would say, I don't know which one happened first. I would say honestly that strike a balance happened first, because previously I was working at Equinox, and one of the things that I noticed was that everybody wanted balance in their life. So it kind of came from this general, you know, green juice, smoothie, yoga, wellness idea of how do we have it all? How do we treat ourselves well, but then also go out to the bars and the restaurants that we want and travel, but work hard and make money and save? And there was just all these things that people wanted to do. And I realized that because everyone was looking for balance, let's just all work on striking a balance. And it's funny because that really picked up. Now, friends and family and people that I know around me, they instantly put strike a balance to me. And we hear it in a movie, and my friends will turn and they'll jump to me. So it's interesting because I never really expected it to be such a token of my work, but it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then, so you said you're at Equinox, and now you're an entrepreneur. And so maybe talk to us about that transition and then maybe a little bit about what, you know, exactly you're up to now.
Great. So I was actually at that job for 2 years, and I felt that it was my career. I saw my future there. And I actually very clearly remember many people specifically in my life at that time, new friends of mine, said to me, I know you think this is everything for you, but it's not. You're bigger than this. And even going back to those words now and seeing, you know, the timestamp of them saying, you're bigger than that cage. And so I don't think, if it weren't for these people in my life really encouraging me to dream big and to look outside of my current reality, I would have probably been stuck there for longer. And I see and have continued to see a lot of my friends kind of stuck in this place where they think that, you know, it is the only way. And I came up against a lot of disagreements when I said, I'm leaving this job and I'm going to start my own thing. But one thing that I always, and I feel really strongly about, is I set myself up for success. And before leaving any stable job, I think it's really important to do everything in your power to set yourself up for success. And it doesn't just mean financial success. Obviously, that's very important. But I think understanding what is the network that you've been connected with, how is that going to help you in the future? How can you continue to build your ideas and your plans and your network now at your current job and take that with you in a way that's not going to burn any bridges, but is going to support you? And I knew, I would say before I left, I had a feeling I was going to leave maybe 2 months, 3 months before I left. And I was still kind of teetering on the idea, but when I decided to finally leave, I made sure that I was good.
Okay.
Yeah. I think financially, if you can save up for 6 months, to get specific, saving up for 6 months at least with a good plan, don't save any less than that. Like you need money to support you, because there's nothing worse than going to become an entrepreneur or becoming freelance and taking any job. You don't want to just take any job to get you by. Like, to have some sort of frame of reference in terms of what you're looking for in terms of a client. And then the second thing I did was I put myself in communities and environments that I knew were going to really nourish me on all fronts. So,
are you able to speak to an example of that?
Yeah. So I signed up for the Landmark curriculum and I did that right away, actually, per my sister's recommendation. My 18-year-old sister is going to recommend something for me. I'm going to do it. So I did that. I volunteered at a yoga studio once a week, which really allowed me to build a community in that. And I did a lot of free work. I did a lot of community building for some meditation communities and for things that I was just genuinely passionate about. But I wanted to show up for other leaders in the community that I felt I could learn from and that I could offer value to. So basically, flashback a year ago, every night of the week was booked with something that was nourishing for me, that was educating me, that was bringing me to a great community, that was allowing me to meet people that were in my general industry. It was important for me to choose carefully which places I was giving my energy to and my efforts to.
Mm-hmm. Great advice by your sister. and so you're also, those mentors, did they help you kind of manifest what, you know, you were thinking about doing? Because I think that you're a big proponent of kind of manifesting and thinking about, you know, your dreams, your day and stuff to then make that happen. Is that, did that type of exercise happen? And
not really. It was almost in passing, they would say. I can think of three very specific people that they had one-liners to say to me that stuck with me. And it was, write it down. It was, don't let them take your light. And the last was, I'll never give up on you. Three sentences from different people that really helped me. But no one sat down with me and said, okay, how are we going to make this a reality? I did, however, hire someone to help me. But this was earlier on before I decided to leave. I just recognized that I was in a place where I was meeting great people and I wanted to have a personal brand and that at some point I would need it. And so I worked with her and she was someone who really helped me with my plan. And to this day, we're very good friends. And I don't think that I would be as clear on what it is that I'm creating in the world today if it wasn't for her. And I think it is really important to have a plan. And what I offer to a lot of my clients is this type of breakdown and clarity on what is it that you're actually trying to bring into your reality.
And so can you speak to an example of maybe your plan and then an example as to how you can help companies with their plan?
I think it all comes down to like our soul purpose and mission. And it's very easy in today's society to get distracted. Mm. And my lens is technology. How is technology impacting our social and emotional well-being, but really all of it? And so recognizing that technology is making us feel lost, confused, not good enough, comparing ourselves to others constantly, that it's really hard for us to recognize what it is that we're trying to bring into the world. So when I speak with individuals or companies and I'm helping them kind of build this strategy to not only figure out their purpose, but then how to communicate their purpose, it takes some time, because choosing to create something that is personal is personal. And a lot of us manage to put up a lot of boundaries around us to not get personal. So to help people feel comfortable enough to deep dive into what it is that they really care about, and then to craft a narrative around that. So it is a long process. And even just by speaking it now, I recognize that it isn't an overnight thing. And so I offer not only kind of the strategy and the structure to do it, but also like the heart and soul component of, you know, really being with someone and allowing them to feel comfortable and opening up. I think basically everything I do is kind of this duality. And one of my favorite parts about who I am as Alexa Eden, my first name, Alexa, right now is like the pinnacle of technology. And Eden, like the Garden of Eden, it's like the slow, first place, most beautiful, peaceful place on this planet. And so I have this really interesting strike a balance between technology and slow living. And my name just happens to be Alexa Eden. And it's like really interesting how it's all kind of unfolded. But I feel like, you know, if I wasn't sure that I was on the right path, I'm definitely on the right path.
Yeah, it's funny thinking about Alexa as we're recording a podcast.
If she was in here right now, she'd speak.
And you also talked about kind of movement. And I'd love to learn a little bit more about your underground meditation series.
Yes.
As somebody who's been on the subway and sometimes gets excited about the performers that are on the train with me, and then sometimes, you know, gets a little bit guarded by it. You know, so I'm really excited about what you have done and what you are doing in terms of underground meditation. But I'd love to learn a little bit more about kind of the vision and what happened.
Thank you for asking about it, because it really brings me a lot of joy. And I would say that it wouldn't have happened without Landmark, I will say. And it's not a plug for Landmark, but it is a show that sometimes we need support and we need structure and strategy in our life to help us build what we want. And this would have been a really wild dream for me if I didn't have the support and the strategy and the structure to build it. So I'm very grateful for my course that I did there and the work I did there. But why this is important to me was, I was sitting on the subway one day and I had already had this frame of mind of, how is technology getting in the way? How is technology impacting our social and emotional well-being? And it was this one day where I was sitting on the train and someone walked on the train and he said, "I'm really sorry to bother everyone, ladies and gentlemen. Unfortunately, last night my house burned down and my family and my girls and we're out of everything and we have no jackets and we have no furniture and we have no food. If there's anyone who is just willing and has something to share, I would really appreciate that." And no one looked up. Mm. No one looked up, but worse than that, no one felt it. And that's where I'm looking. Because if we are not even present enough to feel other people's challenges, there's no wonder why we're disagreeing about everything. Because you can't help but feel bad for someone in that situation. But everyone on the train had their headphones in and were staring at a screen. And that's not to say that you had to give the shirt off your back, but to be able to give heartfelt, "I'm so sorry," or "good luck," or "here's a number for a show." Nothing. No, not even a smile, not even a recognition that this person was going through challenge. And that's really what was the fire behind this, because clearly we are so disconnected from our surroundings that we have to talk about it. We have to do something about it. And the only way we're going to get attention is to do crazy stuff like meditate on a subway. And so it is really sweet. And I think all projects have their multidimensional, you know, opportunity to explore. Mm. That is, you know, the heart and soul of it. But as we build it up and as we kind of expand, it's recognizing that, like, what if we were using that time on the subway to be a little bit more present? How could we show up at work? How could we show up at home? Mm. You know, if you had a seriously stressful day, but you get home and your daughter's like, "Dad, I just want to play." And you're like, "I need a drink." Like, you know, you can't show up at home like that. So we need to actually start taking this into our own hands and recognize we have power to control our time. We just have to choose to. So instead of sitting on the subway listening to the top 40 playlist with some rap, what if we actually listened to music that scientifically was proven to allow us to feel different states of experience and being? So I'm really conceptualizing, and I actually read in the Harvard Business Review, people report their subway commuting time as being the most stressful time of their day. And so they wrote down tips on how to change your commute, mm-hmm. and they didn't mention meditation. And I'm reading the article like, guys, hello. So it's an incredible opportunity to recognize that the 20, 40 minutes of your commuting time a day could be spent actually learning to detach from work or show up at work in a great state of mind. Maybe you're going into a meeting and instead of like checking Instagram and getting all crazed about what's going on your phone and the news, and you can actually just show up your full self without all of the distractions that would have stopped you on your way. So I think that there's an incredible opportunity in terms of meditating on the subway. And for most people, they might do it alone, but to do it together is really powerful. And I have a whole game plan on where I want to bring it, but I'm being patient.
And that's interesting you say about every project has multi-steps to it. And love to learn a little bit more about the book that you're working on. Are you able to speak to that a little bit more?
I can speak to it in a very skeleton version. Essentially what I'm realizing, and it goes back to that moment when this person was on the subway and he was asking, and we live in a city with so many people, but yet we're desensitized to people. So what's the point? Why do we live here? Why do we live in a place with so many people around us if we can't smile at our neighbor? It doesn't make sense. So in the concrete jungle, it's making our hearts hard. And funny enough, I did some research. Concrete is the only material that doesn't soften. You can melt, you can mold, you can break other things, but concrete, it doesn't get reversed. It only hardens. It's the only material. Mm. So for me, I'm like, whoa, okay. So here I am living in the city for 3 years and I feel my heart getting concretized. If I don't stop now, it won't stop. It'll only get harder. And so it's kind of this concept of like, how do we actively engage in our communities in a way that is allowing us to feel, and not in a gushy emotional way, in a way that's empowering, because feelings are intelligent. Our hearts are really intelligent, like really intelligent. Mm-hmm. Our heart, our electromagnetic field for our hearts goes out to here. Our minds go out to here. So if you think of like an antenna, you can only pick up the certain signals that are around. But if our hearts are out to here, but somehow we don't know how to be in touch with our heart, we're missing out on a huge opportunity. So a lot of my work is starting to focus on how can we help the modern mind find this power, utilize it, and then connect with their communities in a deeper, meaningful way.
I love that. So really trying to let that sink in. And
thanks. I mean, it's powerful and it's palpable because we're all experiencing it, but we don't know what to do about it. Mm-hmm. And we feel like it's kind of out of our control. And the things that we try to bring it back into our control takes work. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden now we're in this culture where everything is immediate. Immediacy is king. I get it now. I order it now. It's delivered in an hour. I can get anything I want right now. But transformation doesn't happen overnight. Transformation needs to be worked on. It needs to be practiced. It needs to be shared. It needs to be considered. It needs to be reflected on. It needs to be revised. There's all these things and processes that don't happen overnight. Mm-hmm. So it's a tough industry because people want the quick fix. It just takes time.
Yeah.
And being an entrepreneur, it takes time also. And I'm totally sitting in that right now because, you know, even in this conversation, you can tell, like there's a lot that I think about this day in, day out, every conversation I have. It's just what I care about. And, you know, I see what I want to build for my future, but it's not going to happen tomorrow. And everything that you do brings you one step closer to that happening. So especially as an entrepreneur, like, you know, I work with clients and they're like, oh, well, if we're not going to share this content, then it was all a waste. It wasn't a waste because getting all that content helped you be here today, which is what made us have this realization about this new direction we're taking. It's not a waste. It's all very important stuff. It's like the process is so important. And we get caught up in these quick fixes of we want it to happen tomorrow. But the way that I was a year ago versus the way that I am today is going to be different than the way I am in a year. So how can I project a future for myself with clarity if I'm not going to be willing to adapt and change with time?
Mm-hmm. So Alexa, I think it's very fascinating how you've been able to design your life around going to events and having people really want you to go. And so how could you, if somebody was interested in having that type of lifestyle, what type of advice would you give to them?
Two things. First, be intentional. Be intentional about your time and about who you're spending your time with. I see it all the time where we get caught in the relationships around us and they might not be the best for us. And it takes bravery to step out of relationships like that. And sometimes you have to go to things by yourself. Like I went to a lot of things by myself. And I never felt bad about being by myself. I just felt bad because I knew that I had friends out there that would love this and that I couldn't share it with them. But I really feel that the more that you do the things that you love, the more you'll be able to find what you love and you'll attract people you love.
Find your tribe.
100%. So definitely be intentional with your time and who you spend time with. And the second is, consider that these events that you're going to can either be a lily pad or a stepping stone. It will either bring you one step closer to the direction you want to go in, or it's a lily pad that really looks great. It's a nice shiny green, could be nice to hang out on, but it might sink. And so when we only have 7 days a week, how many events you want to go to? New York is busy, and then you got to see your friends, and you got to see your girlfriend. There's stuff to do. So when you have events to choose from, you have to think, is this going to be an event that is a stepping stone for me, or is it a lily pad? And that's not to say that you have to go and like climb all the ranks of society. It's not the point. The point is this going to help you? Is it going to help your mind? Is it going to help your spirit? Is it going to help your business? What is it going to do for you? And sometimes you don't know. But if you're interested in it, then maybe that's your heart telling you that you should be there.
Okay. And so then you've been able to, through going to all these different events now, you've been able to now find which ones you want to go to and the ones that want you to go to.
Yeah. So it's been an interesting development in terms of me being paid to be at events. Some of them I actually co-produce in a way where what I've designed, and to talk about one of like my portfolios, so I work with brands and communities to work in-house with them. And let's say you have an event with 30 people. You want to know that at least 12 of those people have had a meaningful conversation, know what the event is about, know why you're partnered or sponsored with these people, and otherwise it's a nice event and everything, but they'll go home with their gift bag and they'll forget about it because there's another one tomorrow.
Yeah.
So I really help to not only produce the event sometimes, but I also support at the event, recognizing that if there's someone sitting on their phone over there, I'll go talk to them. And if I happen to know a couple people, you know, there's a brightness, there's a lightness, and there's an energy in the room that if you're hosting the event, you can't do everything you need to do to produce it and to make sure that everything's working fine, that the speaker's there and the event is going fine. And it's too much to do just one person. So I really offer this kind of support in production and also as a influence in the community.
Yeah, that's amazing. And so then in addition to kind of like strike a balance, you know, being kind of an unexpected viral hashtag, through the different projects, like, what do you think is the main kind of change you're trying to really make for people?
Oh, gosh, that's such a good one. I want people to recognize that the Garden of Eden is right here. Mm. Like, it is our reality. That all we have to do is choose it. And that if we just allow ourselves to be present, we will see so much beauty in the world. And that's it. That's really it. Every day we can wake up and we can see beauty. And every day we can wake up and we can yearn for it. Mm. We just have to choose it.
And so that's what, through manifestation of an awareness of seeing this, then we can make magic, make connection, make friends, have growth. Is that...
100%. And then first we need to kind of put our phone down sometimes. Because the way that I could connect with you mm-hmm. in person is different than how I could connect with you if I was texting you.
Yeah.
And how could we show up for our families and our loved ones and our friends? But there's this device in front of us yeah. that is kind of taking us away from these real connections over time. And it's not woo-woo anymore. Like, it's really not. It's really an opportunity for us to recognize that if we take steps in the direction of learning our capabilities as human beings and as functions of a society and a community, we can actually start to exist in a totally different way. So that brings me to leadership. Leadership is an amazing conversation that when you think about corporate world, and how leadership is structured. Like, that person has a title, they're the leader, and I'm not a leader because they're the leader, so I have to listen to the leader. But we recognize that leadership manifests itself in our lives when we decide to be a leader in anything that we care about. It could be in your roommates, in your apartments, could be in your community, could be in your family. You choose to become a leader. And when you become a leader and you speak up and you stand for the things that you care about, you're now a leader in that way.
Yeah.
So I think it's really important to recognize that, especially when you're taking steps out of a corporate job, because you don't have to have a title. It's more about, how can I help?
Mm.
How can I take charge in helping out here? And not because I'm going to get a title or because I'm going to get paid more or because I'm going to get accolades, but because I care about this and I want to do something about it.
I want to contribute. I want to make it better. And, so I love in one of your posts, you had this, you wanted to stop scrolling for the life that you wanted and just start doing it. So, you know, what kind of career advice or advice would you have for people that are, you know, as you mentioned, kind of stuck and stuff and, or just getting started? How do they start to, you know, stop scrolling for the life that they want and make it happen?
I love that you just brought that up because it's one of my favorite quotes. I remember very vividly one day, this was a little while back, I was laying on my yoga mat and I'm like scrolling on Instagram and I just hear the inner voice say, you're no different than any of these people. You're putting out the exact same thing. You're not picking up any traction. You must be crazy. What were you thinking? You are going to actually make this work. You're crazy. And I turn over, and right next to me is my guide that I created for myself. Everything I wanted. Alexa Eden, Strike a Balance, Helping the Modern Mind, Strike a Balance Between Technology and Slow Living, what I care to do, why I'm building this. And I'm like flipping through the pages like, this is the best read I've read all week. And it was everything I needed to know to remind myself that I am doing this for a reason. And that I'm not like everyone else. And that none of us are all like each other. We all have our own stories. We all have our own purpose. We all have our own individuality, which is making us care about the things that we care about. So to recognize that our individuality is the fuel to our fire, we just have to feel confident to discover what that is.
Confident to discover that.
Because I could have sat there and said, I'm no different. I could have kept saying that too. I'm no different. I'm not good at this. I have no... And honestly, I don't know. People don't say this. I'm going to say it. Followers don't matter because I lost my phone. My phone's gone. Who am I without my phone? I'm me. And I'm confident about it. But if you don't... Just because you don't have followers doesn't mean that you don't have great things to say, that you're not making an impact in your community, that you don't have an amazing product, an amazing service, that you're making a difference, that you're living in truth, and that you're a genuine person. These are all qualities that existed way before Facebook or Instagram started and got us all crazed. So in building your business, yes, you want to get your message out there. You want to share it with the right people. But if the thinking about the numbers is getting in the way of you're doing that, something has to shift.
Yeah, you showed up right on time. You messaged me from your computer. and since you lost your phone, I was... Yeah, so you showed up right on time. I loved it.
The funny thing is that 2 years ago, I actually chose to not use my phone for a week. So I have some experience in this. And me losing my phone actually came at a perfect time. Because it was coming at a time where I'm like, okay, well, it's the new year. What do I want for my year? I have a bunch of clients. I'm kind of juggling a couple of things. And it's actually in these moments of quiet is where clarity comes. And, you know, obviously there's things that are not convenient without a phone. But there's an element of quiet that is really hard to come by in New York. And I'm recognizing that, yes, I am very, very conscious about my technology use. And still, there are ways that it's infiltrating my life in ways that I could actually take a break. So it's definitely an eye-opening experience because it's allowing me to recognize again in this stage, because back then I was different and now I'm now. How is technology impacting me? How is it serving as a tool? How is it serving as a distraction? And what can I do to create sustainable boundaries so that I can be my best self and I can bring what I want to bring into the world?
I love that.
It's like in our lives, we get so stuck in this race of where we need to be and who we need to talk to and checking this and checking that. But there is peace right here.
Yeah. So I know there's a lot of peace in this podcast, so I think this might be a good balance, a good place to wrap up a little bit. And I think, what would be the best way for people to follow up and support some of your many efforts, Alexa?
Thank you. I think probably what would be best would be to follow me on Instagram, alexa.eden, like the garden. And if you want to learn more about what I'm doing, what I'm bringing into the world, if you check out my website, alexaeden.com, that kind of unpacks some things.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.